Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
People. And now it's the Mike Calta Show.
It is 8:10 on the Mike Calta Show. It's 102.5 The Bone. 727-579-1025 or 800-771-1025. In the studio with us now, in the home studio, is a very funny Rosebud Baker, who I think the first time you were on the show was when we were in Montreal, but now we're like podcast buddies.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. We've really bonded over the quarantine.
I know. But I think this has been good for comics. You get to do, first of all, you get to see how hard it is to do radio.
Yeah.
And then deal with, and you know, try to get the pressure. Like, I feel like we have a good relationship.
Yeah.
But the fact that I have to bring you here and bring you through my garage and all this stuff, I'm like, oh, that gets me. I'm all stressed out. Now that you're here, I'm
Yeah,
not.
You, like, I walked in and you apologized.
Yeah, because I feel like I'm really worried. I knew you'd be cool. But I'm really worried about DePaulo's here tomorrow.
Uh-huh.
And then he's going to come in and go, Jesus Christ, I don't walk down your garage and you got your friend. And I'm also, I was having my kitchen redone, so a lot of the stuff from there is in my garage. So it's like the worst time to be here. Yeah, I don't know. It's awkward.
It's...
Now you're in here, it's okay.
I mean, listen, you're acting like I don't podcast from my own living room.
I know. That's true.
You know?
Well, some of these podcasters, these comedians, I want to go. First of all, you know, you look at Bobby Kelly. He's the king of Zoom. He has the best camera, the best background. Yeah, the
self-titled king of Zoom.
But, I mean, he really looks the best. For as unattractive as a man as he is, he looks fantastic
in
Zoom.
Unbelievable. It's like a skincare commercial.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. His lips, his head, everything looks beautiful.
He's glistening.
And then, but then some comics are just like the camera shooting up their nose.
Yeah.
They got pictures of their parents on the wall behind them. Like, nobody ever stopped to go, what should be behind me?
Right.
Yeah, I don't know.
Well, that was the biggest problem with Zoom is that in the beginning you just saw how many people were neglecting the place that they lived.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And you knew, you were like, oh, this is why you do comedy, because you'd hop on a Zoom meeting with them and you'd be like, you can't stay there.
Yeah. Yeah, you got to get out. Yeah.
Yeah.
There is some, we were judging people's quality of their, you know, their living space by how, you know, figuring out how successful they are.
Yeah.
Like, we had Sal from the Impractical Jokers on and he's doing okay.
Mm-hmm.
But then you talk to like Brendan Sagalow and you're like, he can't live there anymore. He's gonna get. He can't live in that apartment. He's gonna get. Can't say.
Oh, I can't.
Yeah, he got used to saying podcast words.
Oh, whoops, yeah. Whoops, my
that's
bad.
Right. That's right.
Same awful,
yeah.
Awful apartment for the last 4 years, and he's been. He's got a roommate that he would do these Instagram stories where you could listen to his roommate.
Yeah.
Who's like a real know-it-all.
Right.
You know, and like every know-it-all, he's an idiot.
Yeah.
So you just hear this guy talking and giving like advice about how to pick up women
from
Brendan's room.
Right.
And I've never seen this guy's face, but I just am like, please get out of there.
That's another thing. I grew up in New York, so I know how bad it is and how rents are and stuff. But you see these guys in horrible apartments, and they have like three roommates.
Yeah,
that's no way to live your life.
I mean, that's just how New York is. You
I know.
Be 53, have two roommates.
My family friends, we say cousins, but they're not really cousins. They grew up on Elizabeth Street, where my family grew up.
Mm-hmm.
And
it's a nice street.
They still live in a rent-controlled apartment over there since the 60s.
Can you tell me when they die?
Everybody's waiting to die. Like, Francis Ford Coppola bought out everybody on one of the floors of their building.
Yeah.
So it's like a regular old-school apartment building that you'd see in the 70s. Movie or sitcom or something, but now it's in a beautiful area of town. It's where all of the fun stuff happens. So Coppola owns a whole floor. They live on whatever floor they live on, and they can't make any upgrades as part of their rent control to their apartment. So their bathtub is still in their kitchen after all these years.
Oh, that's perfect.
Yeah, so that's part of the thing you have to live with over there. Where do you live?
I live in Gramercy.
Okay, so okay.
Yeah, I live right by all the hospitals. I live right by the vet hospital.
Right.
So I walk out every day, and I'm just... I just see what Vietnam did.
Right. To... Lieutenant Dan hobbling down the street. Yeah, I got you.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
And I've lost a lot of neighbors, obviously, because with COVID, all my neighbors are, you know, 80.
So, wow. So they're dying. We see here in Florida where COVID doesn't affect anybody.
Right.
We don't have COVID.
We don't
it's
have
real.
COVID. Yeah. Yeah. It's not nearly. We hardly know anybody that's ever died that's been under the age of,
you should just say here in 2019.
Right. We're either that or maybe we're so advanced.
Yeah.
How do you like that?
I love it.
Last time we saw you, you were dating a black dude. And I didn't meet the dude, but somebody, I don't know if you told me or somebody else told me, and I asked you, I remember saying to you, we're talking about your family, and I said we were rebelling against the family, and you said I was rebelling against the family, and I go, like, black boyfriend, and like making a joke. And you know, Miss Pat heard me and got so mad at me. She was like,
really
in 2018, dating a black guy, would that make it? Does she not know that that would still make a lot of white girls' parents very angry?
I'm like scared to get Miss Pat angry. I love her too much. Like, she's one of those comics that I am like a fangirl of.
Yes, she's very funny.
I swear to God, I saw her on stage once. I watched her, and I think I might have teared up. It was like watching opera. Right. I was like, this is amazing. She's so good.
She used to come to Side Splitters, and Ralphie May would call me and go, hey, my friend Miss Pat's coming. You got to have her on. And I would never have her on because I thought... Like, I don't know. I thought that I never saw her, and there's some of those acts. Galvin, what's the act that where it's like an old Southern lady act?
Oh yeah, Aunt something.
Yeah, like Aunt Tessie or something
Aunt
like
May.
That. Yeah, it's an old lady who curses a lot.
You know, and
I'm like, I'm not doing it. I thought that's what Miss Pat was. I didn't know that she was the complete opposite of that.
Yeah.
So I missed out all those times. So yeah. But we gotta get her back in town. She hasn't been here in years.
She's so funny.
Yeah.
I don't know if she's coming out. Is she even still doing the road?
I don't know. I don't know. Why was she so popular now?
I mean, she's got the money not to.
Yeah.
So
is that the goal? It's so funny that you guys are like trying to get as many dates as you can, and then you get to a level of success where you're like, now I don't want to do them anymore.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, this isn't a sustainable way to live. You know what I mean?
No. Like, and although it is, it does help with a marriage.
It does.
If you could leave on a Wednesday and come back on a Monday, that's the best way to keep a marriage alive.
It really is.
Yeah.
I'm so happy I'm married to another comic.
Yeah.
Before we got married and before all of this, I saw him like once a month. It was fantastic. Yeah. And, you know, it's still great, but we need the time apart. We need our own space. We get time away from all of our responsibilities. The other one handles it. And then the other one gets to go.
Now, how's it been being cramped in the apartment?
Not great.
Time? Yeah. Right. How long you been married?
Since September.
Oh, so wow. It's new.
Yeah.
So how'd that happen so quick?
We're both drug addicts.
Right.
So we move quicker than lesbians,
right.
You know? It's like it's the only group of people that just moves as fast as a lesbian.
Right, okay. I gotcha.
If not faster.
Yeah. What how bad are the drugs?
We're both sober.
We're sober now, yeah.
So this is how we act
out.
What
was your drug of choice?
It was mostly alcohol.
Oh, okay.
I drank a lot,
yeah,
and then whatever was like around.
So you were destined to be a comic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh. Yeah. I mean, I'm lucky I got sober before I started comedy, because I don't understand how anybody can try to get sober as a comedian, as like a working comic.
Right.
Because I'm just like,
yeah, you have too much going on and too much to deal with.
I mean, you're in it every night.
Right.
You know?
Right. Do you do that thing where you hop around like the different clubs in one night? Like you'll go to...
Yeah.
That's insane to me. I can't, like, the pressure of that would be too much.
What, going from, like...
Going from,
New York to the Cellar.
Yeah, the Cellar, the Pussycat, and all those things, jumping back and forth.
It's so funny because, you know, I used to do that every single night, and it was just what I did, and I look back at it now, and I go, oh, that was insane. Like,
yeah.
The amount of stuff I would do in one day in New York was crazy.
Right.
Because I do one thing now, and I'm like, that's it.
Yeah,
I'm done for the week.
Yeah. I don't, so I did stand up a couple of times just as an opportunity because I had friends who were comedians.
Yeah.
And it's fun to do. All right. Like, I didn't get booed, you know?
Yeah.
So when you get off, though, when you get up there and you get that applause, and it's, I'm very comfortable talking, very comfortable in front of crowds. I don't care about that.
Yeah.
But when it seems like it went okay, afterwards, you're like, oh, this would be kind of fun. There's no way in the world that I would start now to try and do something like that. I don't have any of that inside me that would give it that much effort to try and run back and forth the club and do open mics and all that other nonsense. Right. So when somebody is a successful comedian, when you see that they've made it, you really have to understand what they went through to get there.
Oh, my God. It's awful.
Yeah, it's the worst.
It's awful. It's the most demoralizing. I would stand in the snow during the polar vortex in New York City. It would be negative 13 degrees. My bones would feel like metal.
Right.
And I would be barking to try to get 5 minutes to do, you know, just 5 minutes of my awful material.
So we learned from crashing that the way that that works is you go out there and you get people to come to the show, you give them tickets or whatever, and then they come to the show, and if you do enough people, then you get the time to go do it. Or you get the time for exchanging for barking.
Yeah, basically.
Yeah.
You just, I mean, I was horrible at barking. I would get nobody, but I'm a woman, which was helpful, because I'd be like, well, I tried.
I've been walking through Times Square before, and I had young kids chasing me, come see comedy, come in, like, out of my face. Yeah. And I like comedy, I just don't want to talk to anybody, you know what I mean? So I get it. I know the reaction.
Yeah, it's awful. I remember, and I used to get really angry, you know, because I, even though I'm small, I have like a temper like Bobby Kelly.
Right.
And it was like somebody would say, you know, they'd get in my face or they'd say something disrespectful and I'd follow them. I'd just start following them down the street and I'd be like, get back here, you know. And it was like, what am I doing? Do I still want them in the audience?
Yeah, right. You've got them coming in. They hate you already.
Yeah, it's like I wanted to drag them down there, but not so that they could see the show, just to win the argument.
Right,
I just missed the whole point of barking.
I don't know. I don't know anybody that's, well, I guess tourists. Tourists would be walking down the street, get free tickets or something. They're like, all right, we'll go see it.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. There's a ton of stupid people in New York.
Yeah. Oh, I know. Trust me.
Yeah.
This is Rosebud Baker. She's going to be at Side Splitters one night, right? Tonight?
Yeah.
In and out?
Yeah.
Then where do you go next? You go back home or you have another?
I'm going to go back home. And then in February, I start going back on the road. I'm doing a little Midwest run. And then I'm recording an album in March at Zany's.
Now, you say album, but what does that mean? Really mean? Like, are you actually going to put anything on a CD or an album or whatever? Or
I'm recording an album.
An album.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah,
yeah.
Okay.
And then I think I'm going to film it and probably put it on wherever.
That seems to be what you need to do. Now everybody can do that stuff on their own.
I know.
You don't need to wait for whoever.
I'm not. Yeah, and there's no point because my whole life's changed.
Yeah.
It's like all the material that I've worked on for the last 7 years, I'm done. I don't need it anymore.
Yeah, so.
And I want to put it away and start over.
What are you, what podcasts are you doing?
I have two podcasts. I have,
I used to tell comics, stop doing podcasts. You stop. And remember Galvin in the beginning?
Oh, yeah.
Every comedian would be like, well, I have a podcast. I go, Harlan Williams came in the studio. He's like, I have a podcast. I go, stop. What is your, and then he said, you know what? You're right. He said, I'm not making any money off it. Feel like it's going anywhere. And he's like, listen to it and tell me what you think. And if it stinks, I'll stop doing it. And I listened to it, and it was actually good. I got the one guy that I got. He was completely opposite of what he comes across as. He was very, he was opinionated.
Yeah.
He was saying things that you don't have to worry about saying these days. And then he did weird characters, which you expect from him.
Yeah.
And I thought, all right, this guy actually has a good podcast. But
I need you to do the same thing for me.
I will. I totally will.
I have two, and I need to know which one to quit.
Okay, tell me which ones. Tell me which one to do. I'd be happy to tell you.
So I have two. One is Devil's Advocate with Rosebud Baker. That's on All Things Comedy.
Okay.
And then I've got...
So give me the premise of that.
That one is talking about all the bad things that have happened and how they make us funny. Like how it's basically the flip side of bad stuff.
So the good stuff that's come out of bad stuff. Okay.
And then that's sort of like the thing that I'm doing.
Are you like, I want to tell you about this one time where I did this, boom, 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 but now I'm stronger.
Well, it's funny because sometimes I'll bring somebody on and I'll have a guest and I'll talk to them about their life. And then other times I'll just do it myself and it'll just be me talking.
Now does that come out good? Because like whenever I do an Instagram Live, I go, I'm in my car by myself in car line or whatever. I'm like, all right, I'm going to pop on and do this. And I go, I'm going to do this for 5 minutes because I don't really have anything to say.
Right.
And then 40 minutes later, I'm still talking to myself. And I go, evidently, it's easier than I thought it was.
That's how I feel.
Yeah.
And actually, a lot of people say that they like those episodes better. So I don't know which to do.
Okay.
And I'm kind of like,
sort
of finding it. And then I have another podcast with my husband called Find Your Beach. And it was like, we started that on the first day of quarantine as just a
Let's
whatever.
Do something, yeah.
And then we were like engaged 3 days later.
Oh.
And so the podcast has kind of just been our entire relationship
from
the first day of quarantine all the way through to now.
Now, the one time the two of you were on my podcast together with Bobby, I wasn't there, and everybody was telling me how great it was. I feel like we need to try and do that again.
Yeah.
I find it to be very easy to ask people questions when I'm wearing the microphone or doing a microphone.
Right.
Like off the air, I can never say half the stuff I could say if we're on. But I got questions about it. Like we had a transgender comedian on yesterday, and Bobby didn't tell me that this person was going to be on. So once the cameras lit up, I'm like, all right, that lady's got an Adam's apple. I don't know what's going on here. And I'm like, let's just play along. And then finally, when I realized everybody was comfortable, I go, all right, how long into this podcast so I can start asking the questions that I really want to ask?
Yeah.
Thankfully, this person, Jay, was great. And I just
started. Was it Jay McBride?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. She's great.
So I had a. That's right.
Yeah, she's hilarious. She's really funny. And she opened for me at Union Hall for New York Comedy Festival.
But... Yeah, see, so that was the other thing that I was talking to her about is that. I would imagine if you're a transgendered anything, or if you're a transgendered comedian, she's like, I don't want to do all gay shows. I don't want to do, because you just want to be one of the normal people, one of the average people, you know?
Right.
I mean, you don't want to be like a niche thing, you know?
Yeah.
And I would imagine that that's got to be tough. So,
yeah.
I don't know. I love those sort of things.
She's a great joke writer, too.
Yeah, that's what they were saying. Yeah. So. All right, so you and the husband do the podcast. Mm-hmm. And
we're just funny together.
Yeah.
I don't know what it is. Like, I feel like that podcast is just so much funnier. There's moments where we're just ripping each other apart, just absolutely tearing. There was one where we roasted each other's genitals for like.
Yeah, that's good.
And we put the clip out. It gets a bunch of, like views and people find that really silly and funny and a lot of fun. The other one's a little more serious.
Yeah.
So I don't know which one to... maybe I'll keep them both up, but it's
this sounds
tiring.
Like my new job. My new podcast is going to be I listen to other people's podcasts and tell them at the end whether they should quit or not.
You should. There's so many people that need you.
Yeah. There are. Then there's guys... I mean, there's guys that you don't know of. Like, I don't know. What's his name? Greg. I forgot his name already. He does like nerd podcasts where they'll talk about The Mandalorian and stuff. And I'm like, ooh, I'll watch that. But then I don't think anybody else should be watching that.
Who is it? Greg. Is he from New York?
Yeah. With the mustache.
Oh, I don't know.
Yeah, you'd know him if you saw him. I can't think. Him and Mush do a podcast together. it's just like those guys who are just doing the specialty ones, but they're always going to have an audience. They're always going to have a crowd of people that
for
listen
sure.
To them.
Yeah, I didn't want to do any kind of specialty thing. I was like, every time I've started a podcast that was a specialty podcast, I've gotten sick of the thing I was talking about within 6 months, and I'm like, forget this. I don't want to talk about it ever again.
Yeah,
I used to have a podcast entirely about Justin Bieber.
Yeah, but then how long can you do that?
Is it still up anywhere?
Yes. Carmen gets so excited.
It is. It's called Two Less Lonely Girls. We like found him on the street. We stalked him and we found him on the street.
Shut up.
Yeah.
And where? How did you find him?
We had somebody that we knew who used
knew
to work for TMZ.
Okay.
Told me he was at the Bowery Hotel.
Uh-huh.
And I did this with Corinne Fisher. And I was on my couch that night, literally in my pajamas. I got in a lift. I go to the Bowery Hotel. Justin's there with Haley, and it was like right when they'd started dating. And he comes out, and I'm like, Justin, and he's like, he's ignoring me,
I
know he can hear me.
Yeah.
So I don't even know what happened. My hand just reached out, and I just watched it like it's never looked so big, and it just like grabbed onto his shoulder, and I go, Justin, and he goes, what? He goes, what? And I was about to cry. I was like, oh, my God, I made him mad. And I was like, I love you. And I just went, I have a podcast about you, and your mom listens to it.
What did he say?
He was like, okay.
Yeah, was he weirded out?
He was so weirded out. And also, like, what do you mean your mom listens to it? Like, I didn't even know how to say mom and I have DM'd on, like, Twitter. And we had. And I've, like... lied to her and told her that I read the Bible every day. I just started spinning lies for Patty.
Right.
And I told him, I'm so happy that you and Haley are back together. Cause I just love you guys together. And that was when he like flipped. He just went, yeah, she's an angel or whatever.
I would have been like, you're a goddamn lunatic.
I know.
And ran from you.
I know.
First of all, you chase me down.
Yeah.
You touch me. You talk about my mother, and you think you know my mother,
yeah.
and then now you're like talking about my relationship.
Oh, and not only that, it was like once it was over, I took a picture with them, and then once they left, I kept following them.
Oh my!
No!
Where did they?
I walked probably about a mile and a half. Just behind them, so that I could trail them, so that my friend could find them.
Oh my god!
So then they like hopped into this restaurant, and my friend comes to meet me. She was on stage, Corinne. She like gets She rolls up in like a white van, like it's an OJ chase, and she gets out of the van at the restaurant that they're at, and then she goes in to go meet them. So it was like a whole thing that we had orchestrated, and I put it on my Instagram.
I have
the whole thing.
Oh, I gotta go see that.
It's
now.
All like a series of stories in that, you know, highlights? The highlights?
Yeah.
So it was like a whole Justin Bieber.
Oh my god! Chase. Now why do you love him?
I don't know.
Listen to me.
I don't know.
I love him.
I love him.
I love his. I am unapologetic about liking his music.
Yeah.
And I think he's adorable.
He is.
I think his wife is gorgeous.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I love him a little bit. I don't know if I'm going to run out to a restaurant to see him, but
you'd be surprised.
Oh no! Listen, my buddy Justin lives in the city, and we were meeting in the city to go to dinner.
Uh-huh.
And I got there before he did, and there was a 1,000 people at night standing on this small street gathered around this restaurant, and I said to the limo driver, I go, what's going on? And it was Kanye was the musical guest on Saturday Night Live,
mm-hmm.
and he was eating dinner there with Kim.
Yeah.
And I go, so what are they doing in there? He goes, they're just eating dinner inside. I go, so all these people are waiting for him to come outside? And the guy was like, yeah. And I went, oh. And I just turned around and walked away. I have no interest whatsoever.
No, I don't care.
Yeah.
If it's Kanye and Kim, I'm like, bye.
No, I mean, like, even if it was Justin, there's no way I'm standing there and staring at a building until they come outside, even if it's Bieber or whoever it is.
Honestly, I don't know what it is about. I've never been like this.
Yeah.
But Justin, I'm like Beatles. It's like crazy. I like love him.
I don't know how old you are, but for those of you listening, Rosebud is not 17.
I'm too old to like him.
Right. Like you like him sexually? Like you're like, I want to ravage him? Right? He's just like a little boy that you want to hug.
I would breastfeed him.
Yeah.
I would do that.
Right. You want to nurture him.
Yeah.
Yeah, I
want to nurture him. I want to make sure he's okay.
Oh, Carmen wants to jump his bones, though.
Yeah.
Right, Carmen?
Him and Drake are like my dream team.
Yeah. Well, that's a weird dream team. It's so funny because they've worked together a lot. You know,
yeah.
Drake was in the Baby music video before he was like huge in America.
Listen to you two.
Carmen, maybe you just love Canadians.
I am from Michigan, so I'm used to it.
You guys have a lot in Carmen. Carmen dated a black guy, then switched out and went to a string of white guys. Now back to the OG black guy.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
The ex?
So he wasn't really an ex. It was like just a long time ago when I first moved to Florida. And then he had to move away for work.
Yeah.
So it ended all out in good terms. There was no like nothing,
that's great.
Nothing bad happened. And he just recently moved back into town.
Oh.
And he's single. He's newly single. I'm newly single. And it was like, let's see where this goes.
He moved back into town and moved back into Carmen.
Yes.
Yeah. I was going to say, when you say town.
Yeah, we know. We know about the village. Yeah.
See, I went back to white guys permanently. I'm married now.
Yeah, well, you say that permanently. You never know what's going to happen.
I mean, I'm hoping. Right. I'm hoping some, you know,
now,
opportunities arise.
Now, the black dude, I have questions about this. Where do you meet him? Was he a comic, too?
He was also a comic,
Oh, see, that's why. So you like guys that you're around.
I like funny guys.
Yeah.
I do. I mean, it's also like you can date... they say you can date outside. You shouldn't date comics as a woman, but I'm like, well, who are you going to date?
It's all you're around.
Yeah,
that's all you're, what are you going to be, waiters or club owners?
And you sit across from like a normal guy on a date, and they're asking you about comedy, and you know they secretly think they could do it better, and
right.
It's just the worst feeling. You're like, ugh.
Have you broken up with a guy because he gave you a joke? You can use that. You can use that in your act.
Exactly. That kind of thing where they give you something, and they go, oh, this, you're going to love this, and it's like, you don't understand. My gynecologist does that.
Oh.
Like, everyone I know does that, and... I can't stand it. So I'll just drop. I'll just lie on the first date and say I do something else.
That's what I do. I tell people I'm a butcher.
Yeah.
Or a baker because I'm up early in the morning. I got things to do. Yeah. I don't.
What's the third thing you tell them?
I just tell him I do interior design.
Candlestick maker?
Thank you. Right, no you got to finish it. If you're going butcher baker.
Okay, so I wanted to do, before everybody was podcasting, before I ever did a podcast,
yeah,
I wanted to do a podcast, and I thought that there might be a possibility that I could do a podcast with my wife, because she's surprisingly funny.
Yeah.
And then Galvin made me feel so bad about it, I could never do it.
You're welcome, America.
Not just America, it's international. Thank
yeah.
you. My wife is funny.
Yeah.
And she's mean to me, and like
that
we're mean to each
funny.
Other. I think it could be funny, but Galvin's ruined so many things for me. No. If I'm so insecure about some stuff, like I'm not insecure about myself, but if I'm like, oh, I love that guy, he's great. Galvin's like, that guy's awful. And I'm like, I don't like that guy anymore. Yeah.
You're impressionable.
Yeah, very, very much so. Only by Galvin, though. He's just intimidating.
I'm like that, too, with certain people. If let's say Bobby Kelly.
Yeah.
If I talk to Bobby Kelly about somebody that I don't have any sort of negative feelings about, Bobby will somehow make me see exactly what there is to dislike about a person.
Yes.
In five
he
seconds.
Brings out the worst in everybody. Yeah.
And I just go, oh, okay. Yeah. I'm never speaking to that person.
Have you played Soul Joles?
I have not.
Okay. So this is a place in Pennsylvania, I think.
Yeah.
And it's
talked to the guy.
It's a guy who during the COVID, he figured out a way to do an outdoor stage or something, and he's had comedy out there, and it's freezing out there, but he's got heat lamps and all that stuff.
Yeah.
And I only know about this because I see all of my friends are playing out there. So yesterday, Bobby's playing out there this weekend. So yesterday, the guy texts him, and he says, hey, he just says, this is how the text went, something along the lines of, hey, John DiBella says you've been on his show before, and they really like you. Can you do it tomorrow at 10:30? That's a radio show out there.
Yeah.
So I was like, oh, okay. You know, they're willing to promote a show, whatever. And Bobby's like, can you believe that? And I go, can I believe what? And he goes, that's the way the guy talked to me. And he just asked, I go, what did he do wrong? I go, he just asked you if you want to do promotion on a radio show that you like and they like you.
Yeah.
That's not how you start a conversation. You say, hi, how you doing? I go, oh, you are such a diva. You are such a baby.
You know what, though? I was going to do a date out there, and it was, and I asked, you know, I was like, hey, can I come out there for whatever? And he goes, you know, during the winter, it's been a little tough. Maybe we can do a door deal. And I was like, I'm not doing a door deal for your outside show.
For your shitty.
Is there a door?
Yeah.
I was like, there's no door. Right. And so I didn't respond. And he was like, he sent an email a couple weeks later being like, following up on this. I was like, following up on what?
On your door deal.
Like, I'm not doing it. And I was just like, absolutely not. So it's one of those things where I'm sure he's a nice dude.
I don't know.
It was like, bye.
Yeah.
Forever.
He clearly should not be doing his own texting, is what I've learned.
Yeah, I was like, you need someone to handle your emails, because that is absolutely not.
Well, listen.
For a tent.
let me tell everybody, you can go tonight only at Sidesplitters, 960-1197. Is it one show?
Yeah.
That's it. One show. Get in and get out. Yeah. Go see Rosebud Baker. She's very funny. Check out her podcast. I'm going to cancel one of her podcasts, so I would go check them out now. And what are you on Instagram?
Tell them they can let me know what they think. It's Rosebud Baker.
Yeah, on Instagram, Rosebud Baker. And go look at her. Justin. I can't wait to go check out your highlights to go watch your Justin Bieber stuff. I never asked this before, but what about Rosebud? Where does that come from? Nobody. And why do you stick with that and don't use Rose? I'm not that care.
Yeah,
I'm just curious. That's an interesting.
Well, it was like a nickname that I got as a kid.
Okay.
And then everyone.
From what? What's your real name?
Rosemary.
Oh, okay.
But I was never called Rosemary. I was called Rosebud, and then they all just called me Bud. And when you grow up as Bud,
you don't want to be a Bud.
Like, it changes your personality.
Yeah, what's up, Bud Baker?
Rosemary would have been a completely different person.
Yeah.
Rosemary wouldn't have been a comic.
Yeah.
So I'm like, Rosebud is what I went back to when I got to college, and I was like, that's more feminine.
Yeah. It's very feminine. Yeah. I don't know. You don't know what to expect by the name.
Yeah.
Okay.
But it felt more me. Like, Rosemary sounds like an old woman.
Old lady's name, yeah. I have a cousin named Rosemary. That's the end, I think. You won't. There's names that die off after a while. You won't. You won't have another Rosemary for a while.
Rosebud Baker sounds like you sit on your porch of your plantation drinking lemonade.
Well, geez, you didn't have to make it racist. You didn't have to throw a plantation.
Are all plantations bad?
Yeah.
What if it's a plantation full of plantains?
You could just say porch smoking a cigarette.
Yeah. I feel like I'm going to go into Snoop's weed shop and they'd be like, try my Rosebud Baker. That's what I feel like. That is the name of a strain.
It does sound like a strain. Yeah.
Well, I appreciate you getting up early and coming in my garage.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, it was
go
fun.
See Rosebud at Sidesplitters, 960-1197 or sidesplitterscomedy.com to make reservations. And check out her podcast and her Instagram, and I will cancel one here in the next couple of days. Thank you so much for coming in.
Thanks for having me.
We'll take a quick break. It's a Mike Calta Show. It's 102.5 The Bone.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.